Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the basic question which comes to us in this Lord's Day is, where is Christ? Perhaps this does not seem to be much of a question for us, for everyone here would, without any hesitation, answer, Christ is in heaven. We might not be able to exactly locate heaven in our conception of things. It is somewhere way up high, over the rainbow. But we know that Christ is indeed in heaven. Where is Christ? This is a question with which mystical sectarians and also modern theologians struggle. They can never really seem to find Christ. It is a question which also might function in the ecumenical discussions of our time between the Roman Catholic and the Anglican churches, who take Christ to be bodily present in bread and wine. They are confused, but not we. We know for sure that Christ is in heaven. We know where Christ is. We have no problem on that point. What might sometimes be a problem for us is this in this respect is the way in which we contact this heavenly Christ. How do you have communion with such an elevated person? Oh yes, we know the correct answer. We have communion with God through prayer, by His Word and Spirit, but this does not always seem to go easy in the practice of daily life. The question can also function in a different manner. Where do you find Christ? In the maze of churches and sects, is He more or less in all denominations? For all claim that Christ is in their midst, and they clothe themselves with the name Christian. Where is Christ on earth? Christians are divided. But does that also mean that Christ is divided? In Matthew 24, we read that there will increasingly be various imposters who either claim to be Christ or have a special office related to Christ. You will hear the claim, here is Christ or there is Christ. Where? Here, there, everywhere. Where is Christ? In this Lord's Day, we confess the fact of the ascension of Christ in heaven. We also confess that He is still with us and in our midst. He is in heaven and yet on earth. We must fully understand these matters in their true harmony. I summarize it as follows, our confession concerning the presence of the ascended Christ. First place, He is at the Father's side in heaven, and secondly, He is in the church's midst on earth. If we are to give an adequate answer to the question, where is Christ, we must first clearly understand the meaning of the ascension. How do you interpret the fact of the ascension of the Lord? And question answer 46 asks, what do you confess when you say He ascended into heaven? How do you take this statement, not just individually, but together as church, as believers? You might say, what's the problem? There is only one way to understand these words. He ascended. They mean that Christ went up from earth, that He disappeared into the clouds and thus went into heaven. The matter is as clear as crystal. Is it really? The question seems to indicate that there are various interpretations of the simple fact of the ascension. Interpretations which dominate the theologies and practical lives of their adherents. This whole Lord's Day 18 includes a serious confrontation, not just with the Romanist view, but also and more specifically with the Lutheran view. So we should take a closer look. To start with, there are those who completely deny any physical ascension of Christ. To them, this idea is preposterous for both a theological or scientific viewpoint. First, the idea of heaven as being upwards is too simplistic and is based, according to them, on an ancient idea of geography, that the earth is like a flat plateau. The world of light is heaven above and an abyss of darkness hell below. Basically, in the 19th century, when scientists thought that they were beginning to unravel the mysteries of the universe, the idea of a physical ascension was dropped. Second, this meant that in a theological sense, in the school of scripture criticism, the ascension is only a story. a sign by which the early Christians proclaimed their doctrine as being heavenly, as acceptable to God. But to these scholars, the ascension has no historical basis or truth. The Roman Catholic Church and Lutheran Church recently, or certainly do not, belong in that category. They believe that the ascension is a true historical fact. In that sense, we fully agree with them. They do not deny the fact, but then they're ways apart, for they reduce the significance of the fact of ascension by saying that Christ does make constant physical appearances on earth. He does so in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. The Romanists say that bread and wine is changed into the bodily, physical body in the blood of Christ, and that he is again sacrificed on earth. Lutherans do not go that far. They emphasize that Christ is spiritually present in bread and wine, but then they add that since we cannot separate this divine nature from his human nature, he is also bodily present in bread and wine. So he is indeed physically present on earth. Although the reasoning of the Roman Catholic and Lutheran churches is different, and we must acknowledge this with proper discretion, the end result is practically the same. According to both of them, Christ is physically present on earth and makes constant appearances in the flesh and must therefore be worshipped and adored in the bread and wine. When it says that Christ, before his eyes of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, the Catechism takes a very strong position against the mainstream religious thought, both Orthodox and liberal. It says that Christ was taken up. Notice the formulation here. Christ is a unique person with a divine and a human nature indeed. As a complete person, body and soul, as he lived here and also rose from the dead with flesh and blood, but now glorified and imperishable, no more subject to the results and implications of sin, that Christ totally and fully was taken up from earth to heaven. Catechism adds something to demonstrate the factual proof of this. It says he ascended before the eyes of his disciples. They saw him go, not just in spirit, but also physically and bodily. There was no divisions of nature. There was no mystery about it. If you would have asked these disciples, "Where is Christ?" you would have received a puzzled look. They would have said, "What do you mean? Do you not believe our apostolic testimony? We saw him go. Where is he now? At the Father's side in heaven." So wherever we may want to look for Christ as a person, recognizable and visible, we must certainly not seek him here on earth. Sure, we can try to drag him down through our theological constructions, but that is ultimately worshiping of images and therefore idolatry. Or we may attempt to idolize his ascension as an embodiment of an idea or a doctrine, but that too is self-styled Christianity. For he ascended visibly, recognizably, unmistakably, and clearly. He is in heaven. There is no doubt about it. He did not simply go there, but he is also going to stay there for a period, definite period of time. The Catechism makes us very clear when it says, and that he is there for our benefit until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. He is there continually, always. He does not in any way, form or shape, make periodical appearances on the earth. His presence is in heaven, is constant and uninterrupted. It is true that he will not stay there permanently. The Catechism adds, until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. His stay in heaven is an interim period. The ascension was accompanied by the immediate promise of his certain return. But that is here in Lord's Day 18, not the point of concern. But his return, we read later in the next Lord's Day. The point now is that Christ is really gone from earth. He is not here, but he is in heaven at his Father's side. We live in the promise of his coming and not in the reality of his physical presence. This is of immense importance to the Church of Christ. In our worship services, for example, the Word of Christ has prevailed over the signs and symbols of the Lord's Supper, because Christ is in heaven and not in the bread and wine as such. Therefore, before going to the Lord's table, we are exhorted not to cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but to lift up our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ is, formed for celebration of Lord's Supper. Don't try to drag Christ down into your hemisphere or atmospheres, but leave him where he is and rightfully belongs in heaven. That's a consequence of the ascension. We must worship him who has gone into the highest heavens. We must look upward. We are not to look around in this world for salvation, but we must look to where Jesus is at the Father's right hand. We are not to seek a Savior here on earth among men, but we must await our Lord Savior Jesus Christ from heaven with glory. The truth is the background of Christ's admonition to his disciples in Matthew 24. It will be a mark of the latter days, the last ages, that Christ will be proclaimed everywhere as an earthly Savior to be found here on earth in the flesh. Matthew 24, 23 to 27 says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Lo, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Lo, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Lo, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. We should not search far and wide for Christ, the wilderness, or look for him in the depths of mankind, the inner rooms." A key phrase here is, do not go out. We don't have to go out to seek Christ anywhere, but we should stay where Christ has placed us, in his faithful church. We do not have to go out to find Christ wherever he is, for he will come to us out of heaven in his time and glorious fashion. His appearance will be as lightning, visible throughout the whole sky, one flash of lightning up the sky for miles around. When he really comes on the clouds, it will be clear to all. Now, here is Christ. So we do not go out to shop around for Christ, for we will not find him here on earth. We always raise our hearts upwards where Christ is, at his Father's side. You can do that from anywhere on earth, from your house, from this church building, or at the park. Seeking Christ is not restricted to a specific holy mountains or so-called blessed areas. Since Christ is in heaven, people from all over the world, right from wherever they might be, can look up to him and call upon him. We no longer have exclusive holy places or sanctuaries on earth. Instead, we must now worship in spirit and in truth. It is the delusion of the age to seek Christ here in the construction of men, in earthly terms, in human institutions, instead of seeking him where he really is, in heaven, at the Father's side. And the terrible thing is that when we try to establish such visible and tangible contacts with Christ as if he is on earth, we lose sight of the only way of communication which he has really established. We come to the second point. For now, two related questions come up. Questions in 47. Is Christ then not with us until the end of the world, as he has promised? And why did Christ leave us behind so that we cannot see him face to face? Not only is his promise at stake, but also our perseverance. Has the ascension not made things more difficult for us? Catechism may say that Christ is in heaven for our benefit, answer 46. And that may be true, but do we not need Christ with us in the here and now? Is it not inevitable that people will start making images because they need a savior on earth? Christ may be up there, but we need him down here. Did he not promise, "I am with you always"? Well, he did not break that promise. Even though he is in heaven at the Father's side, he is still with us. The point is, however, that he is not with us as before. If we always take this into account, there will be no difficulties. If we accept the manner in which he is now with us, and if we accept the communion as he established it, we will not open up wrong channels and avenues to have communion with him. This is the key point of Lord's Day 18. The Catechism explains these things very carefully and precisely in answer 47. Christ is in heaven in body and soul, according to both his divine and human natures. The human nature, which is visible, is limited. As such, he can only be in one place in heaven. But his divine nature is not subject to such restrictions. No, with respect to his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. These are impressive words. They remind us of Psalm 139, never absent from us. Always with us, before and behind, all around us. In that sense, Jesus Christ is here. His majesty is here, not in an outward sense, but in what he does, in his government and providence, in the history of the world and in our lives. He is always here, never absent. His grace in gathering the church, in administering his heavenly gifts, is ever present. His Spirit, by whom he proclaims his gospel of redemption and works faith in our hearts, is always with us. He is here, yes, always, but in a divine and spiritual manner. Do you know what the Lutherans said in response to this? They said, "Now you are ripping Christ apart, separating his two natures, like the old heretic Nestorius did. The one nature is then here on earth, and the other is there in heaven. Well, they should be together everywhere." But the Catechism answers this objection by saying, in answer 48, no, the two natures are and remain one, but the divine nature, being omnipresent, goes beyond the bounds of human nature. Thus, according to the flesh, according to human nature, Christ is in heaven. But according to his divine nature, he is with us on earth, so it is revealed. And so it is also quite understandable. Now the question is, why did Christ have to ascend physically into heaven? Well, for him, it was exaltation. He had completed his work that he had to do on earth in the flesh. There was no reason for him to stay here anymore in the flesh. He could therefore go home into the glory of his Father, and at the same time, his work on earth thereby takes on a new dimension. He begins a mighty spiritual work in which he reveals his mystery and grace, majesty and grace. Oh, who would want to drag him down again? Who would not see him where he is and the glorious work which he is doing from out of heaven? He did not go to heaven merely for himself. He went in the first place to please his Father. That always comes first, and he went for our benefit. The Catechism touches on this in question answer 49, when it says that as Christ has been our mediator on earth, so he is our mediator in heaven. But whether on earth or in heaven, he never ceases to work on our behalf. He is pleading our cause at God's right hand and is still in our midst by his Holy Spirit. He is indeed in the midst of the church. He is present by the Spirit, who has been poured out over the church and through the word which has been given to the church. He lives in our hearts through our faith. So Christ is never far away, but always near. The final consequence of the ascension is that we are to live by faith, not by seeing, but by believing. We are to believe his glorious presence in heaven. We are to believe his spiritual presence in our midst. Now it is by faith, in spirit and in truth, that we worship him. He is found where the word of God is proclaimed in faithfulness. We do not live by seeing, but by believing. We do not look to things that are seen, but by that which is not seen. For hope that is seen is not hope. We have the word and the promise, the spirit and the testimony of Jesus, and that's enough. Whoever puts aside the word and promise will have to start searching for Christ, here, there, and everywhere. And such a person will not find him. But if you keep the revelation of God, you will never fall prey to the imaginations of men. Put the word aside, and indeed, you will come to worship images. But where the word is open, where the Spirit works, and where Christ is present, in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, and there one day he will also dwell in the flesh. And we shall see him face to face. Where is Christ? Is he in heaven, exalted? He is in heaven, exalted and glorious. He is here in our midst, majestic and gracious. Amen.